Well, this is fascinating. So, what is it about me?
I don't know. Because you're smart, you're funny.
Ross is smart and funny. Did you ever think that about him?
Yeah, right.
What is it?
Okay, I don't know. You just... You have a quality.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, a quality. Good, because I was worried you guys were going to be vague about this.
Welcome to the One About Friends, the podcast that'll be there for you if you're there for it too. This week we are here to review the 8th episode of the series. It is the one where Nana dies twice. I am Dando.
I am Nicola.
Nicola's got her coffee in her hand.
Tea.
Tea in her hand. She's English. I keep forgetting that she's English. I do forget sometimes that you're English because you don't sound English anymore.
Oh, thank you. One coffee a day in the morning and then the rest is tea.
A lot of tea. How many cups of tea do you reckon you have every day? I reckon at least 6.
Shut up, no.
12.
No.
You have a lot of cooked tea. A lot.
I'd say 3.
When your family are over here, all you
I'll
guys
probably
drink
more when I'm with the family, but
what,
3.
What is it with tea, though?
It's
what?
Really comforting. Put the kettle on. Ugh, love it.
But it's... Why?
Because it's warm and it's comforting.
It's kind of like...
Warm and wet. Homely.
Yeah.
And Yorkshire tea for the win, by the way. You can send us the payment for that ad later.
Yes. Yeah, we're here to discuss the one where Nana dies twice. But before we get into it... Speaking of things dying, ants. Goodness gracious me, this house is infested at the moment.
I don't know what's going on.
It's not even summer. They usually come during summer, right? Is that when they usually come in the house?
We've had one warm day, but now it's warm.
The pantry was full of ants. I had my lunch in the boys' room today, or in the studio here. I call it the boys' room. That's what it used to be called, the boys' room. Because you just
have you had many boys in here, babe?
A few. You just need to get away from the kids when I'm having my lunch, just to sort of just me time. And then I left the plate in here because Dad was like, oh, not Dad, Alex was like, Daddy, come play with me. Why aren't you playing with me? It's all in one breath, isn't it? Daddy, do you want to come play with me? Why aren't you playing with me?
He doesn't pause though.
No. And I just went out in a panic and left the plate here and then came in before and there's just ants everywhere. So I sprayed them and then I sort of felt bad because, you know, when you spray them, it's like they're screaming at you. I feel bad for them.
Oh.
It's because they can't make sound, you don't sort of get emotionally invested in it.
Yeah, they're tiny, they're small. Yeah.
But I wonder if you had like ears strong enough, whether they're going, why? Why?
And in my head I'm thinking they'd say, not the blue spray again, but really actually they only see it once, let's be honest. They don't see it a second time.
One thing, listeners, Nicola.
Sorry, it's not funny to
Nicola goes to town with
I have to explain. Brendan think I went to... Brendan thought that...
You do it all the time with flies, everything.
No, I don't do flies. You do flies, but I did ants.
You spray flies?
Not really, no. I haven't sprayed ants like for a year. Oh, sorry, start again. I haven't sprayed flies for a good year or whatever. You go around and you find them in the air and you go, in the air, midair. That fly, got it. But anyway, and I let you do it. It's like a ritual, like a spiritual kind of ceremony.
What?
So
I
yesterday had these ants. I don't know how they came in the laundry door. They came the length of the laundry, around the corner, and then the exact length back again across down the whole kitchen, alongside every cupboard. I don't know if the listeners really care about this, but anyway, my point is up and into the pantry, into the honey, right? The honey had leaked or there was a dribble on the outside or something and they were absolutely... So obviously I had to start and then, you know, in the pantry and then along that bit of floor and that bit of floor and fridge and laundry. Brandon was like, you're going to town. I was like, but there's a million of them. You don't understand. I had to follow the trail and get it to find out where it came from and just...
It is fun sometimes to sort of spray mid-trail and just watch the ants on the other end and just go, where do we go? What do we do?
No, it's not fun. That's cruel.
Why is that cruel? Unless letting some of them live.
Put them out of their misery.
They weren't in misery. They were having honey. They were having a great time.
Yeah, they were.
Anyway, the one where Nana dies twice. You were telling me off air just before you really enjoyed this episode.
I did. Very fun. And I love the relationship between the characters. They really were there for each other. Like their friendship was, you know... Yeah, their friendship blossomed. They looked out for each other in this episode and, you know, going to Monica and Ross's Nana's funeral and stuff like that. So, yeah, I thought it was lovely.
I think this is a really good episode that would have helped the show relate to a wider audience because you had your hip story with Chandler confused of being gay. That was still in 1994, whatever, when this originally aired. It was like taboo, ooh, talking about gay stuff, right? But you had the sentimental story of Nana passing away.
Yeah.
And I think... for someone like me who has never really, I've enjoyed Friends, but I've never really been like emotionally invested in Friends like you are. Like other shows, like I watch like Simpsons and things like that. I love The Simpsons. So I watched this and went, oh, I can kind of see how this show hooked people in. Because if I had to watch this, I would go, I want to continue watching this.
Mm.
Ross tends to be a whinger, a whiner. But Ross in this, particularly the scene when he's in his nan's closet, like for someone who's lost their nan, like we've both lost our nan, there's little things that you sort of see sometimes and you go, oh, yeah, nan stuff. That scene there, I was like, ah, I kind of get it now. I just thought that scene in the closet was great. And also it involves
like the scene with like Monica and her mum. So that touches on possibly difficult relationships with mum. I wouldn't, you know, everybody's relationship is their own level of difficult. But it touched on the fact, that Monica's mum seems to make a point of, you know, always fixing Monica, correcting, you know, making sure that she's going to do the thing. She's got to have the best we see, you know, she chases her down for making sure the job's, you know, the best job. And this, you know, it's not good enough in the eyes of mum. And, you know, are you ever going to get married and such thing? Whatever makes Monica a success in her mum's eyes, that's the things that she sort of grills her for. And the fact.
And they can just interrupt, sorry.
Yeah.
And that's just a real sitcom cliche trope. The whole mother never thinks I'm good enough. Look at Grace on Will and Grace. The mother's always at her.
Oh.
In The Nanny, the mother's always at her. It's always just the mother or the mother-in-law in Raymond.
Mm.
Never good enough. You know what I mean?
Well, that's a mother-in-law thing. Yeah, that's totally
it's
but
mother or mother-in-law. Like there's always that one person, the female senior in their life that's always at them about every aspect. Mm. So when we were getting that at the beginning of this episode, I was like, oh, this shit again. You know, it's always this trope. By the end, though, I feel like they, even if she continues to be this way throughout the series.
They had that warming moment.
Yeah, they had that moment where you're just kind of like, oh, okay, at least I can kind of accept it more now because she even knows she's doing it, but she's doing it from a place of love.
Yeah, sort of, but she's projecting, you know, in reality, like you can't project what you want for your child onto them.
It's odd though, so does she continue to be a bitch to her throughout the series, does she?
Oh, there's definitely times. Like I think I'm in an episode not too far away, they have them over for dinner and she made lasagna. Oh no, we haven't had that one there. Did we do the one with the lasagna and the,
not
no.
Yet.
So there's all these, like the lasagna gets ruined basically, so she makes spaghetti and then Monica's-
Spoilers!
Sorry. Monica's mum was just like, that's easy. Like it wasn't good enough, you know. So there is still, it's coming. There's more, you know, and when Ross gets married to Emily and it was like, oh, you know, I just hope that we'll have a wedding at all one day for you kind of thing. And Monica's like, you can let some of them go. You know, you don't have to say it every time. So there's definitely a recurring theme with Monica and her parents. Yeah.
That's not the only thing she does, though, is it? Because it just seems odd that you would give such a touching scene in an episode and then just sort of throw that out the window. As I was saying, it makes you like the character more where you're sort of willing to accept, oh, that little bitchiest trait to it. But does she have any sort of signs of this in the future? Or is this sort of it? When it comes to being nice to Monica,
there's fun. There's not many. I don't know. I'm just trying to rack my brains. I don't think there's many sincere moments between Monica and Judy where Judy's soft. There are some funny moments where she's disappointed in Ross, for example, and so finally it's Monica's moment to not be the one under the heat, and so it's, oh, Ross, you did this. You did this. We're so disappointed in you.
That was
and
the then, smoking drugs, right?
And is then that the, one? Different. No, okay. There's something a different time. But then they turn around to Monica and like, and you knew? So it's like, disappointed. But it's like, but hold on, she's still under the grilling. Like it's like, oh, back to, you know, you think that she's making progress. And then, oh, back to, yeah, it must be my fault for knowing. But there are some other funny scenes that come in where, about their perceptions of, you know, parents' perceptions of what's going on in the characters. But I think there isn't many soft mother and daughter moments.
I think they made Jack very likable in this.
Yes, and there's a few nice Jack moments over the time as well. So,
okay, yeah. I just think they're being thrown out and seen, things like that. I just really like that. And the and the moment where he discovers that Joey's listening to the football.
Yes, yeah.
Just sort of, that's just blokes. Mm, yeah, it just felt very real. Also, we've discussed this earlier in previous episodes that Chandler wasn't meant to be one of the main characters. Two episodes straight where he's the only one that has sort of their own side story. I've enjoyed it. I've always found Chandler to be, when I'm watching Friends, if anyone's going to annoy me, it's usually Chandler because he's always one with the quips and it sort of feels very forced, a lot of it.
Yeah.
But I've found him rather relatable.
Yeah, the last few episodes, as I said to you the other day, last time I think we did the podcast, I think it's coming into its own where their feet, not under the pressure to have Chandler like, hey, let me start the conversation just so I can tell a funny line. Like, it's not that kind of setup. It's just more, there's funny bits, but it's really a lot more natural now. They're just hanging out. And yes, he might throw in a line because that's his gag, but it's not so much he's setting up the conversation just so he can say something funny. It's just more he's participating like everybody else, and he just has a bit of a this or that to say. But I think I don't know if it's just a change in the writing or less pressure on the writers now they've established him as the funny character. They're just letting him go.
And this episode didn't feel very loud. And it just felt like a lot of all the previous episodes were reviewed, this one just felt like they gave everyone more, the story more time to breathe, moments to breathe. When Jack was talking to Monica about being thrown out at sea, it was just a peaceful, calm, no sort of one-liners here and there. It was just father and daughter having a chat. Judy and Monica. There was moments where they were just sort of looking at each other, chance to breathe. When Ross is saying Nana stuff and it just sort of cuts to Judy and I'm not sure what her sister's name was.
Gosh, good question. I don't know her sister's name.
But they sort of just sort of look at each other and smile.
Yeah.
There was moments where the episode was just allowed to just
Monica has breathe. An aunt, Sylve. Was her name Sylv? Let's find that out.
I'm not too sure. You Google that whilst we continue. I've got some facts to tell you about the episode whilst you look up that. So the shot of Monica's parents' house, the exterior shot, is later used in a daytime setting from a different angle when Ross and Rachel stay at her father's house in the one where Joey speaks French. So the exterior shot of Monica's parents' place, Ross and Monica's parents' place, is used from a different angle to be a different place, to be Ross and Rachel's father's house, which was the house we went to on set and had the stairs and you took a photo of the stairs. What was that house?
That was Judy and Jack's place.
Oh, yeah. So that must have been the same place. Okay, yeah. So we've been there.
Well.
That was on the Warner Brothers set. The same, it's sort of like the entry, I believe, to where they filmed Gremlins and Back to the Future. I remember when I walked in there for the first time, maybe we drove on the cart or whatever. I was like, that's where Marty McFly was. that's where Stripe was. It was so cool. Also,
I have the name.
You have the name?
Like yes.
Pause, suspense, and go. Hit me.
Lillian.
Lillian. Aunt Lillian. Okay. Does she say it in this episode? Probably. So, at the end, I really like the moment, by the way, where they say, oh, this is Nana with the gang at Java Joe's, right? Yeah. Java Joe's was one of the original names for Central Perk before they changed it to Central Perk. That was going to be the name of the coffee shop.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, so sort of like a little inn. In reference there. And then finally, in the uncut DVD version of the episode, there is a scene of Monica picking up a coffin for her Nana with her father, Jack. I do feel like the scene with Jack and Monica, it was nice, but it kind of felt short and out of place. So that was probably the follow-up to them going to pick the coffin together.
Arriving and then, home and having that moment.
Because the conversation, whilst it was nice, it sort of came out, I know, didn't
just
fit
like, what's
right.
He sort of doing over there? Yeah, what were they doing
why is he hanging out at Monica's house just talking about that? It just felt like it didn't flow to that scene very naturally, but that explains why. I'm surprised these aren't in the Blu-rays. Or maybe they are, you just can't remember because you always watch it on Netflix now.
I do, but I don't. I really don't know that scene. So, I mean, maybe I haven't watched every single disc of extras, but
maybe they keep the on the Blu-ray as like a special feature or something, as opposed to just putting it in the episode.
Yeah, that's probably what I mean. That's probably what it is, rather. Yeah. That's what I mean, yeah.
What were your favourite moments from the episode, though?
So, absolute favourite moment, poor old Ross, high as a kite, confessing his love to Rachel.
You like that bit?
Yeah. Okay. I love you the most.
I thought, Rachel, come on, don't act like you don't know what's going on
And
here.
She's like, I love you the most. Like, you don't get it.
I thought you said, I don't get it. I thought he said, I don't get it. He's just like, as if to say, I don't get, what do you mean? I don't understand this scene.
I thought it was like, you don't get it because he's saying that he loves her the most. She says, and I love you the most. And he's like, you don't get it because he's confessing his love to her.
Let us know.
I love you the mostest. You know what I mean?
Let us know, listeners. Friendsmailbag@gmail.com. I think it's, I don't get it. As if to say, I don't understand why this isn't working or, you know, I've told you I love you. You told you love me, but you're not going for me. I don't get it. Nicola thinks it's, you don't get it. Let us know. Who's right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to go back and check the subtitles of Netflix. Friendsmailbag@gmail.com. Write in, I do want to know who is correct. Let us know. First person to write in gets a prize of some kind. We'll send you something.
Ooh, well, we've got nudes. A lot of merch. Hey, what? Your own.
Of me?
Oh, yeah. So nobody wants that. That's not a prize.
No, that's not a prize. What else did you enjoy?
Sorry, I was just slapping on some tea.
The one thing of doing radio podcasting is you don't drink or eat when it's your time to talk.
Well, I didn't know you were going to ask me for another thing. Oh, what's your favourite moment?
You're part of the conversation. Well, you just have one. Just have one moment. That's it, is it?
Well, that's my top favourite. Yeah, okay. You go.
I've already discussed it. Ross finding Nana's stuff. I thought it was very sweet and very real. And you always have that moment when I think when I was going through Nan's place when Nan passed away, finding her Scrabble game and her Scrabble book, and she used to write the words down and the points and stuff, and it was just like, oh, it's Nan's stuff.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. I thought you were going to say this moment when Ross is high. If you want to be gay to Chandler.
Yeah. I mean, it was funny. It wasn't my top moment.
Yeah, I like that. It's just poor Chandler.
Yeah, I know.
He was in.
And then the girls after were just like, I told you.
Yes.
That was funny.
The Judy Monica moment, which we've already discussed. We won't go over it again. But I also really liked, and we watched a couple of times this episode. It got me again the second time. Rachel offering Phoebe the pencil. I just thought it was just really sweet. It's that's quirky. True. Yeah. It's silly. But it's something that, like, one of my sister's friends would do for my sister. Mm. It's just odd. But then I just love the, I don't know who this is, but it's not.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not her friend.
It's not Debbie or whatever.
That was, normally that kind of stuff makes me roll my eyes, but I thought it was just really well handled in that scene.
Yeah.
Five correct questions wins the game. The lightning round begins now.
All right. It is time for some trivia. But Nicola, before we do trivia, what we do here at the Four Finger Discount Network, where you are finding this series, the one of our friends, we read out the names of our $20 patrons because we love them oh so much.
And yes.
As $20 patrons, they get their name read out on every podcast we do here on the network. So, starting with Mr. Andrew Zer, Steamed Ham Champion Dylan Haggett, Jordan Moleman Richie, Christopher Darby, Pete Anderson, Plain Old Matt, Andrew Davis, Ryan Dunlap, Jared Howard, Hank Scorpio, Kevin Dental Plan Flood, Jonathan Rossi, Zach Pruitt, Timothy Burleson, Joel Yoland, Katie G, Daniel Kotnick, Shannon Hofer, Reese Roberts, George McMenemy, Stephen Roberts, Sean Deavy, Bella Winderbank, Tom Pickering, Mark Boston Burgess, Groundskeeper Noah, Declan Phoenix, Lewis Kavanagh, Jack McFadden, Heath Appleby, Preston Murray, and Adric McLeod. Thank you so much, guys, for your ongoing support.
Thank you so much.
Listeners of this podcast, you may not be aware, but I quit my job a couple of months ago to pursue this dream of Four Finger Discount and turn this little dream into a career. And thankfully, people have been jumping on board on Patreon and supporting the show and helping us grow. So if you want to continue this show and you want to continue listening to it and help support us and get access to a range of exclusive podcasts that are available on our Patreon, you're just going to go to patreon.com/fourfingerdiscount, where for as little as one single dollar we do, you can support the show and help us grow and get access to exclusive podcasts. All right.
And it would mean that instead of me having to do 70-hour weeks, I could probably drop to like 65.
Yeah, exactly right. It would really, really help. Those five hours mean a lot.
They do.
The things we could do in those 5 hours.
My podcast. Sleep, yes.
Yes, and that's it too. So what we're going to be doing, we've been brainstorming here at the One About Friends, Nicola and I, of what exclusive friends-related podcasts we can check up there on our Patreon. And we've got a couple of ideas. We will be announcing them on the next episode. So listen out for that. On the next episode of the One About Friends, you're going to find out which exclusive friends-related bonus podcasts you'll be able to find by being a patron. And you'll be able to get access to one of those for just being a single dollar patron. So if you sign up for $1, try it out. You get access to our exclusive Facebook group and you'll get access to a bonus friends-related podcast, as well as I do another show, Four Finger Discount, obviously The Simpsons Show with our dear friend, Mr. Guy Davis. You'll get our audio commentary of The Simpsons movie. You'll get access to an episode of our Tales of Futurama podcast that we do exclusively on Patreon. You get access to a bonus podcast of Talking Seinfeld and just so much more. So for one single dollar, you'll get access to all of that. So check it out, support the family, and be a part of the One About Friends team. All right, Nicola, what's your first trivia question for us?
Let me. Okay, I'm going to start easy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which sport
It's the way did- I like it.
Oh.
Oh, my.
Which sport did Monica's mum injure herself playing?
Which sport did Monica's mum injure herself? Ah.
Because she gave Ross her pills.
Was it basketball? No, it wasn't basketball. Volleyball. What was it?
Golf. From my golfing accident, the pills.
Of course, because it's a back. Yes, that makes sense. Yep. My first question is, who did Ross tell Susan Salador that Chandler was seeing? Who's the other guy?
Yes, Bernie Spellick?
Spellman. I'll Spellman. Give you that. Well done. You get that.
Thanks. Thanks. I know. It's just really funny. I must have made previous notes, you know, because I had that question. I had those names written down and then I couldn't find my notes today. So I rewrote them just for fun.
Is that what you were just doing out there?
Yeah. I was trying to remember which things I, trivia questions. I wrote them. I don't know.
Because you're like, I took notes for this episode. And then before you're like, I don't have any like notes. And I'm like, what?
It's in my mind. Don't worry, guys. I live and breathe Friends. It's not an issue. Yeah, but yes, I did write those names down. That was one of my original trivia, and I couldn't remember what it was.
You would probably write them in your notepad.
Yeah. I'll check there. Hey, so which two teams were on Joey's radio?
So it was
walking to the funeral.
The New York Giants is the football team versus...
You can say one word. They only said one word. Giants. They didn't say...
Chiefs? Browns. Who was it?
Third go.
Nah, I don't know.
Cowboys. Giants, Dallas. Cowboys.
Damn.
Well, for follow-up trivia, what was the score when Jack went over to them?
16-14?
Close. 17-14. Yeah, almost redeemed, just not quite.
All right. My next question is, who was Phoebe's friend... where was Phoebe's friend Debbie struck by lightning?
Oh, shivers. Good question.
To call back to a previous question, kind of.
Oh, mini golf, of course, because of the pencil. Thank you for racking my brains. I love what you did there. Okay, my final question. What year were Nana and the gang at Java Joe's?
What year?
Yeah, the photo that they're looking at.
25?
Close. That was how old Nana was.
39.
Yeah. Good job. Well
I'm
done.
I'm pretty sure it was the year that The Wizard of Oz came out.
Oh, look. Shut up with your trivia.
No, I remember thinking that.
Normal people don't think that. What Normal that people just remember a number.
What year did that come out? Wizard of Oz. Out. I'm pretty sure I remember thinking that's, you know.
Brendan, with anything in life ever, is like.
The Wizard of Oz film 1939. No, I remember when she said, I was like, that's how I remembered. I'm like, it's the year The Wizard of Oz came out.
You're bizarre.
I am a bit weird. I associate.
Like, 2000. Yeah, I was 12 or 13 then. Elliot's like, oh, well, that's Elliot. Brendan's like, that's the year the such and such movie came out. And I remember because I specifically stood on this one patch of grass looking at the movie poster or something bizarre. I'm just like.
I associate either song release dates or movie release dates with moments in history. That's how I.
Your history.
That's how I remember things. I'm just like, well, that movie came out that year. So this is, anyway. Mm-hmm. All right. So for those of you wondering, yes, The Wizard of Oz came out in 1939.
You tuned in for that.
My final question is, oh no, when Jack realizes Joey's watching the game, what's the score?
Oh, 17-14.
But can you tell me the teams?
Giants, Cowboys. Well done. Giants were up by 17.
Yes.
By 3, sorry.
So who would Joey have been going for?
He was disappointed, wasn't he? So Cowboys, right?
No, Giants and the New York Giants. I said it just before.
Yeah, but he was like 17-14 Giants and he looked sad by that.
I think it's because it's close.
Oh, right. I mean, look, I would have guessed New York Giants, but I'm just saying.
It'd be like us saying the Cats up by a goal, but it's only the third quarter.
Oh, you know? I see. Fair enough.
Yeah. Anyway.
I understand. Thank you for putting in my language.
That is trivia for the one where Nana dies twice. We'll be right back, guys, after this short break with our in-depth review. If you're a fan of everything we do here at The One About Friends, you can support the show on Patreon, where not only will you get early ad-free access to the show, but you also get access to hours of bonus podcasts, access to our exclusive Facebook community, and so much more. So join the One About Friends family today at patreon.com/fourfingerdiscount. Link is in the description of this podcast. The original air date of The One Where Nana Dies Twice was the 10th of November, 1994. It was written
What
by,
were you doing, Brennan? Where were you? Who were you dating?
10th of November, 1994. Who was I dating?
You were six, but anyway.
Was I six at this point? Yeah, I was six. What was I thinking?
I can do math.
I probably would have been watching The Lion King.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Nice crossover.
It was written by Marty Kaufman and David Crane and directed by James Burrows, which I think is a very similar trio for many episodes of Friends.
Yeah.
The episode kicks off with Chandler in the lunchroom at work, eating some dehydrated Japanese noodles under fluorescent lights. Could life get any better than this? That's what it's like, though. I remember when I used to work at the supermarket at Coles, it's just you eat shit on your lunch break. But you've never really worked that kind of job, though, have you?
I've worked in a supermarket, yeah.
Did you?
Oh, yeah, we had a canteen. It was really good. They did the best fruit buns that you sort of like fruit toast, but it was a bun and you cut it in half and toast it.
So it's like a hot crust bun.
But big. A fruit cake, what do they call it? God, my mind's gone blank. Like a tea cake. That's it, tea cake. That's what they call it. So like at least twice or three times the size of a hot cross bun.
It sounds like a cake, not a bun.
No, but it was like basically fruit toast, but round in a roll, and then you cut it in half and toast it. So, do you know what I mean?
Okay.
It was delicious. In Tesco's. Big love to my Tesco's crew. But
you would have been a hoodlum, I reckon.
What? I was a bit. I don't know why I'm mad at that. I had my moments.
In what way? Give us a moment where you were a hoodlum.
Oh, I can't. I want to hear it. The podcast is not long enough for this.
I want to hear you being a hoodlum at the supermarket. What were you doing?
Oh, no, probably not. Okay, probably not at the supermarket, but in those years, those late teen,
give us a
mid-teens.
Give us a hoodlum story.
I can't. It's, no.
Give me one. Come on.
I don't, well, you mean, by hoodlum, just checking, you sort of mean like a rogue, a ruffian.
Oh, no, what do you think
teenager.
I mean?
Yeah, I'm just checking that we're on the same page with the language before I tell the story. Well, I don't know. So, look, let's imagine a time where I accidentally lied to my parents about where I was going to be.
I've heard this story before.
Yeah, well, I know, but the listeners haven't, have they? It's like a really famous one for me.
Okay.
You know, and they came to pick me up and I said it was going to be the snooker hall, which... I don't know why. Well, you know, I was actually at a dive, like pub, you know, at a dive. We call it a dive, a bad pub, rough pub. And, you know, I'm 15, probably 16. I don't know. Around
probably
the,
shouldn't have been topless waitressing, but there
I
you
wasn't
go.
Wasn't topless waitressing. Never done that before. Thank you very much. No judgment to those who do, but I have not. Now, I was definitely drinking underage, definitely smoking underage, probably smoking a bit of pot just for fun. And the trouble is my parents beat me to the meetup point. So usually I'd get away with it because I'd be there and I'd be ready. And they think I've just walked out of the snooker hall. This particular time I was pretty drunk and I thought that I could get one over my parents. It's kind of like imagine parking on a slight sort of, not a full semicircle, but, you know, like a half a horseshoe. And I'm at the bottom of the horseshoe and I'm like creeping next to these cars and they're, you know, midway point of this horseshoe. And I think that I'm just going to be able to pop up next to the car. So I'm creeping along to literally to mum and dad's car. And then I like jump out into the street and make out like I just came out of the snooker hall. Like they haven't got mirrors on the car and they haven't just watched me crawl down the street from the opposite direction. I mean, I was obviously 16 and smarter than anybody else in the world. So why would they ever guess that I was doing that? Anyway, they knew I was very much in trouble. Pretty sure I was a bit unwell on that car journey home too.
What was the punishment for that? Ray and Julie would have been unimpressed.
Definitely some grounding of some sort. I don't really remember, but I'm pretty sure I got to talking to you. I naturally wasn't allowed to go out anymore to the snooker club because I clearly wasn't going to the snooker club. So I wasn't allowed out.
Why were you going to a dive bar? Who were you going
to? Oh, my mates were there. You know, that's who my people I was friends with. So not my school friends. They were good people. I love them. I'm still like my bestest
friends. So who were there?
I'm pretty sure there was like a guy involved at some point. You know, another silly teenager. And I just had a few groups of friends. I was very popular.
Oh, were you?
I don't know. Probably thought I was.
You've always told me how much you were a loser you were.
I wasn't a loser. I'm not a very cool person. That's not what I'm saying. I've never been very cool. You know, I mean, at one point I was wearing bright blue eyeshadow to school. I mean, I don't know what I was thinking, but it was the 2000s. Yeah.
There you go. That is the life of Nicola.
On with it.
I never did hoodlum shit like that. I just don't think I ever did. I was a goody two shoes.
You weren't very fun.
Oh, there you go.
I didn't know you, but you've told me self-professed, you know, loner would rather stay in with your toys, your TV, your, you know, your games or your movies or whatever. And you told me that, didn't you?
I could tell you some stories.
Well, here we go. Apparently now's the time.
We'll save that for the next episode.
All right then. Next episode, guys, tune in for Brendan's hoodlum story.
It's bedtime here at the moment. Send in, guys, listeners, by the way, send in your hoodlum story. See if you can outdo Nicola's pot-smoking 15-year-old meeting up a bloke to smoke pot story.
I wasn't a bloke. No, it wasn't a bloke. It was another teenager that was also like 15 or 16. Like it wasn't a big thing. Like it wasn't a 25-year-old that was just giving me pot. Like that's weird, okay? You know, and it probably wasn't even a lot of pot. I'm just saying maybe everyone was like having a joint at the back and I had like, you know, three drags, but that's all I needed at 15 on top of like three pints to make me do silly things. So
friendsmailbag@gmail.com. See if you can top that story. But anyway, so that apparently came from the first scene of Chandler eating dehydrated Japanese noodles. That's what we got for. That's how we got to there. Anyway,
I was innocently having tea cakes in all of this, and I somehow bared my soul, bore my soul, whatever I did with it.
Hey, gorgeous, how's it going?
Dehydrated Japanese noodles under fluorescent lights. Does it get better than this?
Question: You're not dating anybody, are you? Because I met somebody who would be perfect for you.
You see, perfect might be a problem. Had you said codependent or self-destructive?
Do you want to date Saturday?
Yes, please.
Okay. He is cute. He's funny.
He's a he?
Well, yeah. Oh, God. Good, Shelley. Okay, I'm just going to go flush myself down the toilet now. Okay, bye-bye.
Chandler's then telling the gang about it, and they can believe it.
Yes, they sure can.
That is exactly what you don't want to hear when you're a guy.
Yeah, I know. Just like, guys, I need you to be on my side with all this. Oh, well, she's got a point, you know.
Yeah, and Rachel thought that he could have been until he spent the entire birthday party talking to her breasts. Mm-hmm. Have you ever caught me looking at your boobs? Just looking down?
Not a sneaky glance, because you're definitely a show me your boobs kind of husband. You know, you just you demand
them. As opposed to the other ones you've had.
Oh, well, yeah, true. But you demand them at various points through the day. Oh, 100%. Yeah. Yeah. I went to bed last night. Well, give me a flash then.
Who said that? That wasn't me.
That's a standard conversation in this house. It's usually followed by an eye roll.
What Linka doesn't realize is that I want a 3/4 inch flash action figure. But I'll go with what she gives me.
God, when you said 3/4 inch, you reminded me of something else.
Oh, my.
Carry on.
We're done talking about the previous guys, babe.
Ah, it's us.
But, yes, so he spent the party talking to Rachel's breasts, so she knew he wasn't gay. But all the girls, they all thought he was definitely gay, especially at high school, because that's what Ross would tell them, so that he could get in, because Susan Salador was, he was keen on Susan Salador, wasn't he? And so was Chandler. So to scare her away, he told her that Chandler and Bernie Spellman were both gay as well, because I thought that was quite funny. Mm. Yeah, I also liked her. So they tell him, he asks, well, why do you think I'm gay? What is it? You have a quality. Oh, well, you know, I thought you were going to be vague about this. That would be even more infuriating when they couldn't even give you a straight answer.
Oh, yeah, I know. What is it about me that's, you know?
I think a girl being told she's a lesbian wouldn't necessarily bother her. Like, do you think?
Why? That's very easy for you to say.
I was going to ask you.
Because you're a guy.
Yeah, but if someone said to you they thought you were a lesbian, would you be like, why? What am I doing? Like, what would you be like? Oh, whatever.
Well, I'm a very open and inclusive person. So the thing is, me being assumed as something isn't something that I would find offensive. So I suppose Chandler's probably defensive and or, you know, offended, because possibly he already has enough trouble with girls, you know. So maybe it's just the fact that, gosh, I don't need another reason the girls are not going out with me. So probably that's different to, you know, yeah, you as a, you know, married person with, you know, straight with a wife, somebody thinking you were gay, because you'd be like, oh, that's funny, because you doesn't matter. well, let's talk then after this. But anyway, you know, it's different because you sort of like, oh, well, I'm happy and secure, so it doesn't really matter what. Oh, that's funny that you think I'm gay. You know, it's totally different, I think, in him.
On your circumstance. Yeah.
Exactly right. And his point in life and his view on himself and how his love life's going and who he is, it's just totally different, yeah.
And you can kind of see he does have a very flamboyant aspect to him, doesn't he?
Sort of, yes. Like some of the thing, you know, comes with a hair flick and a funny little hip jive and a, you know, that sort of thing, 100%.
But it's kind of like it's what people in 1994 saw gay people as, where now it's just like anyone, it's just, gay's no different now. You know, like it's just another person. But in 1994, you know, of course they're gay because they have that little quality
to them. Yeah, there's such a quantifiable way to define if somebody, was.
But then we get the phone call from Rome from, what's his name?
Paolo.
And Rachel's very smitten by this because he's calling all the way from Rome. Back when getting a phone call from another country was a big deal. It cost a lot of money. Now you can like Skype your mum, cost you nothing. That's crazy, isn't it? How the world's just changed like that.
Technology.
Technology. Rachel has learnt a little bit of Italian because she has to be able to engage.
Oh, that was one of my questions.
Well, go get your bloody notepad. No,
listen. She says, "Buongiorno, cara mio." What does "cara mio" mean?
My sweet love.
Oh, close, my dear. Carry on.
My dear. Yes. Even when you can't speak a particular language, just by watching the way they verbalise it and the way they act, you can sort of pick up, I guess it means this. You know, if someone says something and stabs somebody, it's like, it's probably, I fucking hate you. You know,
possibly.
Yeah, something like that, you know.
Yeah, like hello. It's probably buongiorno.
It's not hello, my dear. Bang.
Yeah.
Then Ross says, I can go from Rome. Just got to go to Rome first. Yeah. He's still clearly annoyed that.
A little bit sour. Yeah.
Yes, that Rachel is with Paolo. Monica's dad then beeps in and Rachel says, you know, make it quick because I'm talking to Rome. She's still excited about that. And we get that it's Nana. So unfortunately, they all go to the hospital. All the family are in the waiting room.
Oh, one strange thing I find about this. Okay. If Nana's dying, why aren't they bedside?
I do find that like they're waiting until she's dead before they go in.
Yeah. Like that's strange to me. Like it shouldn't. But then I know that it doesn't, it sets up the scene because then they go in and they think she's dead and she's not.
Which is not an excuse. I had this discussion last night. Yes. We watched The Watcher.
Don't get him started on the bloody Watcher. Show
and do not watch The Watcher. It's just a bunch of stuff happening of no logic.
It literally got weirder and weirder. Episode by episode, it got weirder and weirder for sure.
Had no idea where it was going or what it was doing, even though it was apparently based on a true story. But what was I going to say? Oh, yeah.
Why aren't they bedside?
We're watching that show of my sister and The Watcher. And my sister goes, well, it's because it's a show. And it needs. And I was like, just that's not an excuse. So like you're saying here, they should be by her side. And he's just saying, just because they need her them to be out of the room for the sake of the gag of seeing them, you know, now she's passed and she's present, blah, 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 for us to say that, that's not an excuse. Like they should be bedside. Their Nana and their mother and their mother-in-law is about to be gone.
Yeah.
Why are you waiting for her to die before you go in there? It makes absolutely no sense. But there are some people that don't like to be in there, which is... You know, everyone to themselves.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be there when Nan passed away.
I know.
But I wanted to at least go see her and be in the room before she passes away, not knowing. I didn't want to stand outside the room knowing she's
waiting
still alive.
Waiting for someone to come out and say.
And go, all right, she's dead now. Okay, let's go see her. That's just that does seem silly to me.
Hey. Hi,
Lillian. Hey, Dad. How's she doing?
The doctor says it's a matter of hours.
How are you, Mom?
Me? I'm fine, fine. I'm glad you're here.
Dr. Max, he says she's 4, 5, 6.
What's with your hair?
What?
What's different?
Nothing.
Oh, maybe that's it.
Monica?
She's unbelievable. Her mother is
okay, relax, relax. Okay, we are going to be here for a while, it looks like, and we still have boyfriends and your career to cover.
Then we get the family all reminiscing about Nana, talking about the fuzzy mints at the bottom of her purse and how she used to steal. What's a sweet and low? I'm assuming it's a candy.
Like no, it's a sweetener. Sweet and low. It's like what they put in stevia. What they put in their drinks, fake sugar.
But like in a sachet.
Yeah, same stevia. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what you have here, stevia. Yeah. We have what we call a sweet. We literally call it sweeteners.
We used to have.
Yeah. Do you want a sugar? No. Have you got a sweetener? My dad and Amanda have got this little click clock thing. So it's kind of like a thing of Tic Tacs, but with teeny tiny sweeteners. They're like, you know, a tenth of the size of a Tic Tac. And you little pop a little button on the top and one just falls out the bottom into your cup of tea. Yeah, pop, pop. You know?
I used to, back in my healthy days, used to make everything with the fake sugar.
Yeah.
It still tasted pretty good.
Yeah.
But there's no sugar.
Less calories, of course.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so that's what sweet and low is. You used to steal from restaurants and their house.
Yeah.
Then the nurse calls them in because apparently she's passed away. They're all standing, ready, all prepared. Mm-hmm. So they go to see her. And the first thing Ross says is she looks so small. I remember that's how I felt when I went and saw Nan. Nan just looks so fragile, didn't she?
Yeah, she did at the end,
Yeah, it's like everyone just shrinks. But Monica gives her a kiss. Then Ross goes to give her a kiss, but she wakes up. They all race out.
What is going on?
You know how the nurse said that Nana had passed? Well, she's not quite.
What?
She's not passed. She's present. She's back.
What's going on?
She may have died.
She may have died?
We're looking into it.
Ross, David Schwimmer. I was watching this episode. He has a very distinct delivery, what's the term? Technique, I guess you could say. His head. He sort of shakes his head like this whenever he makes a point. Have you noticed that? Whenever he's saying something.
Guys, I really wish the camera was on Brendan's attempt at that, but yeah.
But don't you think, watch
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah,
every time he delivers a line like that, but he's still a great actor. He's perfect for the role. But yes,
in case David's listening, he didn't want to offend you.
she's not past; she's present. Then the aunt walks in. What was her name again?
Lillian.
She may be dead. We're looking into it.
There's a baby crying.
Oh, there's a baby crying. All right, go get the baby, and we shall return. By the way, guys, just to kill some time, actually, whilst Nicola goes and sorts out Holly and hopefully gets her back to sleep. Please do check out our other podcasts here on the Four Finger Discount Network. If you haven't already done so, We do have our Simpsons podcast, been going for 7 years now. We've reviewed the first 350 episodes of The Simpsons. So if you're a Simpsons fan, let's be honest, who isn't? Check that out. You can find that at fourfingerdiscount.com.au. Also, we do Talking Seinfeld. So if you're a fan of Seinfeld, the other biggest show of the 90s, check that out. Guy and myself review every episode of Seinfeld. We also do Going Down to South Park, reviewing every episode of South Park. So you can still sort of see the theme here at Four Finger Discount is 90s TV shows. So if you're a fan of 90s TV, you'll definitely love those other shows we do here on Four Finger Discount. And speaking of podcasts, as I was mentioning earlier, we also do a couple of bonus podcasts that are on Patreon exclusively, including Tales of Futurama. So if you're a fan of Futurama, check that out on our Patreon channel, as well as Guy on Springfield. So with the Four Finger Discount podcast, the original host, co-host of myself was Mitch. He left after season 10 and Guy joined me then, and he's been reviewing the previous six seasons, or the six seasons following that, so 11 through to 16. But Guy and I, we go back once a month and pick a classic episode from the first 10 seasons and review that with Guy. So it's Guy on Springfield, that's on Patreon as well. We also have The Movie Guys, where each month we review a film from the 90s. And so far we have done, in the last 3 months, Run Lola Run, we did Mrs. Doubtfire, and this month it was The Truman Show, which was a hell of a lot of fun, one of my favorite films. So if you like 90s movies as well, let's be honest, if you're listening to the show, you probably do, check it out. It's available for as little as one single dollar we do on our Patreon channel. But that is enough spruiking. I might take a quick break, fill up my glass here with some more water, and we'll be right back after this break.
Oh my goodness. Holly Waffle lost her Nellies. She has two these days.
Do you want to explain what a Nelly is?
Well, Nelly the elephant is the lovey that she adopted when she was 6 months old and has, you know, never had a day without. However, since yesterday, she found a new lovey, you know, a little comforter. And
I feel like we should call her Blinky or him Blinky.
Is it a koala?
Yeah, it's a koala.
Oh, yeah. Okay, fair enough. Well, yeah, but anyway, she doesn't really care. She's just somehow, like, almost disowned old Nelly. And just loving
that. She hasn't though, because she grabs the other one, the koala, and all of a sudden she's just like, oh, wait a minute. No, I love you too. Don't go anywhere.
So anyway, she'd lost them both. And as soon as I put them, she just sort of flopped down on her tummy and rubbed my back. Thank you.
She loves her little comforters, her little Nellies.
Yeah.
All right. So we're back, guys, to talk about the one where Nana dies twice. And where were we up to before Holly rudely interrupted us? I can't quite remember. She may be dead. Now she's passed. Oh, no. So he goes back in there. We're looking into it. They go back in.
May have died.
And now she's passed. And I pointed this to Nicola, and it would have been a mistake, but it's not when you think about the logic of the story. The Nana was actually breathing and moving her arm in the scene. The actress, yeah. But once they go back in there, she's not moving anymore. I'm just like, why does the nurse cover it with the blanket? It's to emphasize to the viewers, she's dead now. But it's like, he called them in there before when you thought she was dead.
Yeah, and she wasn't. Yeah, that's very true.
And now she's dead. Now you can't. What?
Yeah, and also she didn't do it convincingly either. I'm like, no. Just pull the sheet over. I think the actress can manage like 30 seconds without, you know.
5 seconds.
Yeah, without the sheet, kind of. With the sheet.
With the sheet over her face, yeah. We're now back at Central Perk and Chandler questions, is it the hair? Yes, Chandler, you have homosexual hair. Ross and Monica then enter. And they're like, did she die? Oh, did she? Twice. And Phoebe says that maybe she's not really gone. I know, we checked. She's
gone.
Twice. Phoebe gets the feeling that her mum is still around. I like Chandler here. Did you notice Chandler?
Yeah, like he had to. She sort of waves next to her. And he just moves away. Like,
yeah, he backs up a little bit, yeah. And which I like to think is a little bit of improv there from Matthew Perry, who's in a lot of hot water this week. Did you notice that? He's just released a memoirs, which I was
going to... I know that he has, but I didn't know he was in hot water. What for?
I was going to get it for you for Christmas. And then I read a section that's... I haven't read it, so I'm not sure whether it's taken out of context. But apparently it's like all these classic actors have died young. Like, for example, Chris Farley, who was the fat guy from... You know him as the fat guy from... You know Billy Madison? I probably wouldn't remember it. You'd know if you saw him, right? Mm-hmm. He's a very iconic big man from the 90s. Mm-hmm. And he lists somebody else, famous actors who have passed away young. Oh, Joaquin Phoenix was the other one. Was it Joaquin Phoenix? No. River Phoenix. Sorry, not Joaquin Phoenix. Joaquin Phoenix is still with us. River Phoenix. He says, these guys have died young, but yet actors like Keanu Reeves are still with us. It's just not fair. And everyone's like, what the fuck? The fuck are you hanging on shit on Keanu Reeves for?
Oh my God, Keanu Reeves, is he not like the nicest guy in Hollywood ever?
He's like the greatest actor of all time. Not actor, but like person in Hollywood. Yeah. Like he's just, you know, he just rides the subway of regular people, gives up his chair. Mm. But everyone's like, hang on. Of all the people you got to hang shit on, Keanu Reeves is the one you're
trying to be funny?
No one knows. Everyone's like, wait. And he apparently does it twice. He's like, again, and yet actors like Keanu Reeves are still with us. And everyone's like, what the fuck did Keanu Reeves ever do to Matthew Perry? So it's like not a good thing to come out, because that was sort of, I think it came out this week or is coming out soon. And they sent out feelers to people to review.
And there's book tours happening over the next few weeks.
Is there? Okay.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
And people who were reviewing like early versions of the book, like early releases, just grabbed that section and are like, what is this all about? Mm. So all anyone's talking about is Matthew Perry hang shit on Keanu Reeves in his new book. And everyone's like, well, I'm not buying that book now. And I'm like, kind of feel bad for Matthew Perry. But hey, if you're going to hang shit on Keanu Reeves, you deserve what's coming to you. You do not hang shit on Keanu. He's like my favorite. I was like, what the fuck? Keanu Reeves, leave the man
alone.
He's
Bill from Bill and Ted. Is he Ted from Bill and Ted?
I was going to say, if you want to still stay married to me, you better correct yourself.
Bill is blonde. Ted is Keanu.
Yes, which is not a hair colour, but...
No, I know this. I'm just...
Bill is blonde and Ted is Keanu.
because B and blonde, that's the same letter.
And T and K are not the same.
No, they're not, but I just... That means that Bill is blonde and therefore Ted must be Keanu Reeves, because that what I'm saying is there's only two...
elimination.
Yes, thank you. Yes, that's where I'm going with that.
Okay, then. Nice cover-up.
Oh, and Debbie, my best friend from junior high... got struck by lightning on a miniature golf course. I always get this really strong Debbie vibe whenever I use one of those little yellow pencils, you know. I miss her.
Aw, here, Phoebe. Want this?
Oh, thanks.
Sure.
I just sharpened her this morning.
Now, see, I don't believe any of that. I think when you're dead, you're dead. You're gone. You're worm food. So Chandler looks gay, huh?
You know, I don't know who this is, but it's not Debbie.
We're now at Nana's place and they're looking for something nice for her to wear. It's silly that we do this, but I guess it makes sense. It's like, you want her to be buried in something nice, but it's like, does it really matter?
I know, they were just going a bit OTT with this, but then it was cute, like, and it just... It was like, oh, when the shoes didn't match, and like, well, and it sounds like they've obviously been at this for a while. Finally settled on the burgundy dress. Can't find the shoes. Well, maybe we should pick something else. And no. Wait, let me see what I can do.
But before that, so Ross falls over the drawers, which are a terrible setup by Nana in the wardrobe.
But how did Nana get in?
That's
there?
That's what I'm like. I was like, so what, did Nana never go into her wardrobe ever? I don't quite get this. How did she open the drawers? Because the drawers went across the door.
How
frame.
Did she get them in there?
Yeah, it's, you know? Whatever. But
yeah,
so he falls over the wardrobe and he finds his retainer.
Do you know what a retainer is?
You put it in your mouth, right?
Yeah, for your teeth. Yeah,
for your teeth.
I didn't know if you had many friends with braces when you were growing up.
No, well, we don't call them. Do we call them retainers here? I'm not too sure.
Well, the retainer, I think, is the thing you wear overnight.
Oh, okay.
Like you put it in and it kind of like got a plate on it and wouldn't do things to your teeth. The braces, depending on what you have, like the train tracks go on your teeth. They're probably not called train tracks anymore. Anyway, they go on your teeth.
We used to call them train tracks. It's been mean, yeah.
Oh, was it mean?
Train tracks. Hey, train tracks. It's like
I wouldn't say it's mean. I think some of my,
did you have braces?
No. Some of my friends did, though.
You have perfect teeth, though.
I do not have perfect, I need.
Oh, you used to have perfect teeth.
Anyway, let's not go into my teeth. But anyway, it's got some wonkiness on the bottom going on.
Yeah, I've got a little
my
wonkiness.
My teeth are fine, just so you know. It's fine.
Very good. Very good smile Nicola has, listeners. I'll show you one day. But yes, so Jack and Monica are now just hanging out at their place for whatever reason. Doesn't really make any sense, as I was saying. It's a nice scene. It just feels out of place.
Yeah, so they've gone from the coffee shop back, but...
And Jack's just hanging out at Monica's house for no reason at all. But he says he wants to be buried at sea because it looks like fun. And he can get a boat, pack a lunch.
Yeah.
everyone thinks they know me. So predictable. I want them to say, you know, Jack Geller, buried at sea. Huh. I like the idea that he wants to go out his way.
Yeah.
Hey, gorgeous.
Hey. Look. I'm sorry about yesterday.
Don't worry about it. Believe me, apparently other people have made the same mistakes.
Oh, okay. Phew.
So, what do you think it is about me?
I don't know. You just have a quality.
Right.
You know, it's a shame because you and Lowell would have made a great couple.
Lowell? Financial services, Lowell? That's who you saw me with?
What? He's cute.
Oh, yeah. There's no Brian in payroll.
Is Brian?
No. I don't know. Point is that if you were going to set me up with someone, I'd like to think you would set me up with somebody like him.
Well, I think Brian's a little out of your league.
Excuse me. You don't think I could get a Brian? Because I could get a Brian. Believe you me. I'm really not.
What a weird name, LOL. Tongue twister. Why would you name your kid LOL?
LOL. I don't know. I've heard of it, but yeah.
Well, you wouldn't name your kid that in 2022. LOL.
There's a bit more of a roll on it there, babe, but all right.
Ross then has, you know, shown every dress and, you know, unless you want Grandma or Nana to spend an eternity in the yellow jumpsuit, just go the burgundy. So they go with the burgundy and they, because they agree, you know, whatever we choose, she'd say it's wrong anyway. And
yeah.
So they sort of agree with that. Mm. Now we want the shoes and he shows them the shoes. Nah, it's more of a day shoe. Where she's going, everyone's going to be dressier. Yeah, but it's like, no, what, do you have one with a slimmer heel? So they eventually go, all right, maybe we have to change the dress. No, no, as I was saying, no, I may have something in the back. And this is where he finds the box of Nana stuff. And I thought it was a very, very sweet moment. Very well done. It's now the day of the funeral. They're walking back and, no, it's not the funeral yet. The day of the funeral. Because the Judy's already called Monica and says, do not wear your hair up. Because apparently, did you know ears aren't my best feature? Some days it's all I can think about. Phoebe couldn't find, this was odd to me. It didn't go anywhere. I couldn't find my bearings. You mean earrings? And she goes, what did I say? And that was it. It was just an odd exchange. It's like, is it even funny? It was just weird. Then Paolo, he has sent shoes all the way from Italy. What, we don't have shoes here? Ross is just filthy. I mean, I would be the same. I'd be pissed off. I mean, if I had met you and then you started going with some Italian bloke, I'd be like, oh, that's not fair.
Oh.
I mean, I'd understand it, but it wouldn't be fair. Chandler says, he walks in, oh, don't we all look nice dressed up? Oh, stuff like that, isn't it? We're now at the cemetery and the mum thinks, Judy. Judy thinks it might be time for Monica to stop wearing or to start wearing night cream because she's got wrinkles and things. Do you have like a face cream that you put on, don't you?
I don't have wrinkles. It's I moisturize. That's
moisturizer.
I have a very, very limited skincare routine, which is
Don't wear makeup either, which I like. You don't need makeup.
Most days I wash my face. Every day I at least splash it with water and then moisturize. And then I minimally makeup wise put on like a tinted foundation and a splash of mascara. But at the moment my mascara's ran out, so really I'm just using empty mascara and pretending it looks any different to what it did before.
Go buy some mascara. That's so sad, that story.
I will at some point.
I've just, you know, just using empty mascara and just pretending.
I haven't yet.
It's mother life, I know.
I know, exactly.
I don't make any effort, as you can see, sweetheart. Mm. Yeah.
No mascara for you.
No mascara for me at all. No. Joey is clearly listening to a football game, which, you know, understandable. I mean, I'd probably do the same thing. You're there for moral support, but you didn't know the person. You just, you know, if there's an important footy game on, you listen to the footy. Or at least checking the footy score, like just getting the app going. Rachel.
They didn't have the app in 94.
No, they didn't, no. Rachel is now, she's unfortunately walked through mud in, oh, my Paolo shoes.
Oh, no.
So obnoxious. Fuck off with your Paolo shoes. I hope they're not ruined.
I hope they're not ruined. And
Phoebe says, it's been a great day weather-wise. Today was a great day. We should discuss today was the birthday party of our daughter Holly, who interrupted the show just before. She turned 2 last week.
You'd think she'd freaking sleep the night.
Yeah. So her birthday was the 21st. Today's the 30th, Halloween tomorrow. But we couldn't do it last weekend because it was pouring rain, her birthday. So we did it today and it was beautiful weather. It was meant to rain today and just didn't. It drizzled a little bit like at tea time, but perfect weather, perfect.
Blue skies, 21 or whatever. It was lovely.
Literally could have been a more perfect party for Holly. It was great. Yeah. All of our friends who came, thank you for coming and celebrating Holly's second birthday. Mm. Our little girl's 2. Can you believe it?
Yep.
You can believe it.
Sorry, I just was agreeing.
Have you listened to anything I've said today?
Yeah, no, you were still saying it was a really good day and I was sort of like, yep. But you were like, then can you believe it? And I just still went with the yep. My brain's not communicating with my mouth. Can I believe it? Oh, yes and no. I mean, I've been waiting for it to be 2 for a while.
She's getting some serious sass, isn't she?
Serious sass. Like, her favorite. No! No! I was going to say, no!
No! And then, do you want to watch Moana? Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want some more cereal? Yeah. Like, say, and then you say thank you. Radio silence.
Yeah.
Say ta. And she goes, Ta!
I'm here. Yeah.
Ta.
Brilliant. We just need to teach her to say da.
Ta da.
Oh, anyway, we're still at the cemetery.
This is a long episode, eh?
Yeah, it is. No, it's fine. Ross falls into the grave, as we were discussing when we both watched it. Clearly fast-forwarded.
Yeah,
as he's
I don't know
in.
if it was always quite like that. I don't remember it being so obviously like.
Yeah, just that bit where he's falling.
But
in.
I don't know if that's a recent edit or what. But yeah.
Yeah, so he's fallen into the cemetery. He's worse.
It
fears.
Is funny. My sister actually. So funny story. When we were having the fish pond. So I used to live in England. My dad dug out a huge fish pond area. I'd say like 6 meters by 6 meters by 6. Like literally, like.
Six meters deep.
That's clearly wrong. I'd say 2 meters from top to bottom, but it was built overground and underground. So anyway, it was a good depth underground, you know, down from ground level. But my sister has a terrible phobia of wasps. She's super scared, irrationally so, you might say. Sorry, Benny, love you loads, but it's slightly irrational. And they had these lovely metal posts in the corners. I don't know if you see, like literally like steel bars. To mark the corners and, you know, like the string around the outside, like do not cross this string kind of thing. And she was so like going nutty about this wasp, which she sort of ran away from the picnic table in the garden where we're having our dinner. And she actually, yeah, she tripped over the bar and went straight in this dugout of, yeah, like a very similar, I think I'm thinking of 6 feet, like a grave, okay. But yeah, down that basically.
That deep?
It was probably 4 or 5, but it was I'd say it could have been 6 feet. Yeah, it was really decently.
How old was she?
Oh, like 15 or something.
Oh, so she was
yeah,
old enough. Okay.
Yeah, no, she wasn't like small or anything. She wasn't like 2.
So you would have been hating her at that point. So would you get the shovel and start burying her at that point?
No, I didn't hate her. I know, but you know. No, she might have been only like 12.
You know, stretching but yeah, your shoes with her fat feet, as
yeah,
you always
she did
say.
Do that a little bit. But yeah, no, bless her. Yeah, that was obviously not fun for her. I think she's like,
is she okay?
I think she scratched her leg on the steel bar worse than anything. Oh, did she actually break something? No, I don't remember. Phone in, babe. Let me know what happened because I can't remember. Did she break something?
Write in, Benny. Friendsmailbag@gmail.com.
Or just message me on the WhatsApp. That's fine too. Or did she just hurt herself? I can't remember. I feel like the steel bar scraped her leg more than anything, but she could have broke something. Okay. She's definitely broken bones a couple of times.
We're now at the reception.
It's very tired. I'm late. I mean, no. It's
yes, it's, there you go, guys.
It's very late and I am tired. Oh, God.
The things we do to bring you this show, people, but we love it. Phoebe is checking on Ross to see if he has any muscle spasms. Oh, what's this? Oh, no, it's okay. You just missed a belt loophole. Then Mum gives medication because clearly he does have spasms. And then she fixes Monica's hair. I was like, oh, my God, how annoying would this mum be? Chandler then meets Andrea, Dorothy's daughter. I have no idea who Dorothy is. It's a pretty smooth line. I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you know, I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in you, though.
Yeah.
Hey. How do you feel?
I feel great. I feel great.
Wow, those pills really worked, huh?
Yeah, not the first two, but the second two. Woo. I love you guys. You guys are the greatest. I love my sister. I love Phoebe.
Oh, all right.
Hey, Chandler.
Hey.
I love you, man. And listen, man, if you want to be gay, be gay. Doesn't matter to me.
You were right.
I normally don't like when people act drunk or act gay, but I thought it was quite funny here.
Do you mean drunk or high?
Oh, I said gay, didn't I? I'm sorry,
guys,
it's tired and I'm late.
It's 4 minutes to 10 p.m. and we are absolutely like running on empty here.
Yeah. So it's now time for Rachel to feel the wrath of Ross. He lands on her. I love you the most. No, I love you the most.
You and don't get it.
I've got you. I don't get it.
You don't get it.
Friendsmailbag@gmail.com. Settle it for us. Then Jack realizes
that. Because she doesn't get it that he loves her.
She does get Nicola.
He is madly in love with her. So he's saying that I love you the most and she's countering it with it, but I love you the most. And he's like, but you don't get it.
No.
Because I really do love you the most.
No. If someone was giving you the attention that Ross has given somebody, like when you're single, You've been all over that, climbing out like a tree.
It depends if I fancied that or not.
But you would know that he likes you.
Oh, possibly.
Exactly. So he said, I don't get it. Then Jack realized that Joey's watching the game. He doesn't care, which I thought was cool. Then we get the cut to all the guys at the reception now watching the game because, or listening, is it listening to the game? It's listening to the game.
They're
all gathering over, weren't they?
They were, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, but either watching or
I would have thought it was like a pocket radio. That's what I was thinking. I don't know what kind of technology they had in 94, but.
Yeah, so they're all listening to the game. That's exactly how it would have gone down at a reception. Everyone's just listening to the game. Ross is now passed out on Rachel and she hasn't moved, so she gets Phoebe to hand her a cracker. Then we get the nice moment between Judy and Monica.
Do you know what it's like to grow up with someone who is critical of every single thing you say?
I can imagine.
I'm telling you, it's a wonder your mother turned out to be the positive, life-affirming person she is.
That is a wonder. So, tell me something, Mom. If you had to do it all over again, I mean, if she was here right now, would you tell her?
Tell her what?
How she drove you crazy, picking on every little detail, like your hair, for example.
I'm not sure I know what you're getting at.
Do you think things would have been better if you just told her the truth?
No. I think some things are better left unsaid. I think it's nicer when people just get along.
Huh.
More wine, dear.
Oh, I think so.
Those earrings look really lovely on you.
Thank you. They're yours.
Actually, they were Nana's.
I just thought this whole scene was just really well written. There's a little bit of a mistake there that I pointed out to you. You didn't notice it until I told you. So she goes to fix Monica's hair.
Judy goes to fix.
And then doesn't. And then it cuts back to Judy, then cuts back to Monica. The hair's clearly been fixed. They've obviously gone for two different scenes where she fixes the hair, puts it behind her ears. Mm. But then it cuts back to Monica. The hair is
forward again.
So they've sort of spliced up the two different scenes, but they forgot to cut that bit out.
A couple of different takes.
But I just thought overall it was a really nice moment between mother and daughter.
Mm.
I'm disappointed that they sort of didn't expand on this and sort of go back to, I think the character they needed this moment to at least make you somewhat sympathetic towards her. So at least now when she's being a bitch to her in the future, it's taken as tongue
reasoning,
in cheek.
Yeah, you see the reasoning that her mother was like that. Nothing was ever good enough for mum. And maybe she needed that moment to highlight the fact, oh, there's a reason I'm like this. It's probably the opportunity for her to make a change. But, you know, she's highlighting, yeah. She's sort of connecting the dots. This is the reason I'm like this is because my mother was always like this to me.
Yes.
Yeah. I liked it when it was like, yeah, if you had the chance to do it over again and she thought about it. No. Yeah. I thought it was.
I think it's better if everyone just gets along.
Yeah.
Then we get the guys all screaming, no, now I'm depressed even more than I was. That felt kind of. I felt it was a better word than depressed there. Just didn't feel, you wouldn't go, now I'm depressed. You would never say that.
Yeah, yeah.
It is for the sake of the gag.
Like, now I'm really sad.
Okay, now I'm annoyed or something like that. Anyway.
Or you could do something like, this is the, you know, the worst news this year or so. Yeah. You know what? Like, this is the worst day ever or so. I don't know. Like,
no one says, now I'm depressed. Yeah. It just felt very odd. Now we're back at Java Joe's, Central Perk. Everyone's going through the kid photos of Ross and Monica that they've clearly found in the wardrobe.
Nana's things. Yeah.
Yes, that is my penis.
Look at the little thing.
then they find a photo of Nana and the gang at Java Joe's 1939.
Who are those people?
Got me.
Oh, that's Nana right there in the middle.
Wow.
Yeah, let's see. Me and the gang at Java Joe's. Wow, Monica, you look just like your grandmother. How old was she there?
1939.
Yeah, 24, 25.
Yeah. Huh. It's like a fun
game. It was kind of sappy. Like, it was I like the way they did it. I like it, but it's like they lingered on it a little bit too long where it's just like, no one said anything. They sort of all looked at each other. Yeah, we're a nice gang too, aren't we, guys? It's like, we got it, guys. You didn't need to have them sit there and fucking smile at each other. Like, we get it. But it was nice. Then, I got Monica naked. No, that would be me again.
How was just trying something.
But I'm trying something. I didn't think it needed that either. I think it just wouldn't be funny if just the joke was that he had a small penis and his penis was so small that he couldn't even see it. I think that would have been a nice little callback to the start of the scene.
Because
now it just seems odd that what this little boy is like tucking his penis in. Like, that just seems odd to me.
Oh, yeah, maybe because I'm just... Yeah, maybe is it even big enough to tuck at this point?
Yeah, it's just like, you know, like, look at that little thing, and then it's no, that would be me. Mm. That was enough. Mm. You know, that's just me. Anyway, I'm not the professional here. I'm not the one making millions of dollars like Marty Kaufman and everyone. But then over the credits, we get Chandler chatting to Lowell at work.
Hey, Lowell. Oh, hey, Chandler. So how's it going down there in financial services?
It's like Mardi Gras without the papier-mâché heads. How about you?
Good, good. Listen, I don't know what Shelley told you about me, but, I'm not.
I know. That's what I told her.
Really?
Yeah.
So, you can tell?
Pretty much, most of the time. We have a kind of... radar.
So you don't think I have a quality?
Speaking for my people, I'd have to say no. By the way, your friend Brian from payroll, he is.
He is?
Yep, and way out of your league.
Out of my league. I could get a Brian. If I wanted to get a Brian, I could get a Brian. Hey, Brian.
Do you reckon you could get a Brian?
I got a Brendan.
You did. Mm. Unfortunate for you. All right.
Yeah, it was alphabetical order situation.
All right, guys, that is our review of The One Where Nana Dies Twice. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much for tuning into the show this week. We do have a couple of mailbag questions, but we'll save those for next week. Because it is, well, do you want to do it now? It's just, you know, it's very, very tight and you're late.
Smash them out.
Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan, they get mail and stuff.
I'll pick one. All right, first one here from Sarah Hoskins. Hi, guys. Of all the main characters, who do you think you'd most likely be friends with in the real world? Have we already had this question?
I feel like yes. I feel like we've already had this question.
Oh, well, someone sent it in again. Sarah Hoskins sent it in again. I can't remember what I answered.
If you'd like to, I'll refer you to Season 1, Episode 2 podcast.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we answered this question.
Yeah. I don't know what my answer would be. Let's see how it compares in my
I can't remember.
Late,
it was that
tired
long ago.
State.
We had a massive little break there, didn't we? I think I would be friends with Chandler the most.
You just said massive little break.
Massive little break, did I?
What kind of English is that?
Listen, it's tired. Continue.
I'm late.
I hope not.
I'm not late. There are no more children. Who would I be friends with? Well, look,
chose Monica, I'm pretty sure.
Well, I think I know, but that's who I identify with the most in terms of her traits. That doesn't mean I have to be friends with somebody who's equally as, you know, what's the word, like organized and in control and stuff like that. I think Rachel would be a hard person to be friends with. I think she's a bit sort of not, you'd have to support her a lot. So that's okay if you love someone, like totally fine. But, you know, just maybe once she got her head screwed on, maybe season 4 or 5, Rachel, I could be friends with.
I'm thinking about it now. I know I said Chandler, but I'm thinking about it more. I think Chandler would be hard work after a while. He'd be annoying to be hanging out with after a while. I think Ross is too neurotic. He sort of dwells and worries about things. Just like, oh, shut up, mate. Yeah. He's obsessive. I think Joey would be the easiest one to just hang out with and just...
Oh, actually, yeah, I suppose if I could be friends with the guys too. Yeah, I think Joey would be a really easy person to be friends with, though at some point you got to question his relationship or lack of with women, you know, and the way he treats them and values them. So I'd have to have a word with him.
Doesn't he have a change of heart towards the end of the series, though? Doesn't he sort of change a bit?
Sort of. I mean, he has a time where he...
Don't reveal things to me because I haven't seen shit.
Oh.
I just know that he becomes a better person. He matures a bit.
This is the thing. He's a really good guy. And when they do a couple of those flashbacks episode later down the track, he's actually been a very, very good friend. When you think of some of the things Chandler has done versus what Joey has done, you know, the worst things they could find, actually, darling Joey is a really good, loyal friend. And he looks out for all of his friends.
Okay. There we go. We'd both be friends with Joey.
Mm.
All right. Thank you, Sarah, for sending that question, even though we apparently had it before.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what we said the first time, though, so let's compare notes.
If you do have questions, send them to friendsmailbag@gmail.com. We would love to hear from each and every one of you. Please also, to support the show, please continue to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or chuck us 5 stars on Spotify and just share the show with your friends loving friends. They would hopefully enjoy the show as well. Thanks again, guys, for tuning into the show. We do appreciate all of your support. Remember, if you want to support us on Patreon, that would be much appreciated, and you'll get access to some exclusive Friends-related podcasts that we will reveal on the next episode of the show. This has been The One Where Nana Dies Twice. Thank you so much, Nicola, for joining us.
You're so welcome.
I think there's only one last thing for me to say to you. Give us a flash there.
I'm going to bed. You're not invited. I didn't even say goodbye. Bye.
Well,
catch you next time.